I bet you didn't know, and I say this because I didn't know, that you can get a bigger bang for your buck by overwintering a lot of your garden plants, taking them out of the ground, bringing them indoors, enjoying them throughout the winter, and then putting them back outside. With winter just around the corner, a lot of us are looking to green up our indoors to survive a cold and dreary winter. And my guest today has a lot of really fun ideas with how to do that. So welcome.
Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Plant care is self-care on Growing Joy.
Hello, plant friends. I'm Maria. I'm here to help you care for plants and grow joy. And I'm so excited to be here with you today to talk about this fun topic with my plant friend, Janie. Before we dive in, I wanted to welcome our newest Patreon supporter, Julia B. Welcome to the community of people supporting this podcast on Patreon. We have different levels of Patreon that get you access to so many amazing things like bonus content, coaching with me. You can literally ask me all the questions you want about your personal plant collection, merch, all sorts of stuff. So if you're interested in joining and supporting this amazing podcast, you can visit patreon.com/growingjoywithplants. Now, into today's episode. You might remember my friend Janie from Dig Plant Water Repeat from our episode that we did together on hot climate gardening. And it was such a success. I wanted to have Janie back for another really interesting conversation. She's a gardener, YouTuber, and master gardener based out of California's Zone 9B. Today, we're talking about something different, though. We're not talking about hot climate gardening, even though that's something we now both have in common. We're diving into some unexpected indoor plant choices, plants traditionally that you see outdoors that can thrive inside. Janie's going to walk us through all of it. She's been doing this for years, and you will be surprised at some of the suggestions that she has. I personally have not tried many of these plants, and I'm excited to try them this winter. So without further ado, here's my friend Janie. Janie, my plant friend, welcome back.
Thank you. It's so good to be back.
I'm so excited. It was so funny, you know, after our first episode went live, I got feedback from listeners like, thank you for having a hot weather episode. I feel like our hot weather listeners don't feel seen in a lot of the general content that I create. So that episode really resonated with the people it needed to resonate with. So thank you for being my hot climate, you know, returning guest on the podcast.
Of course. And all you hot weather people, your gardeners and indoor gardeners that need air conditioning, I feel you. I feel you.
You feel, yeah. And you should definitely be heading over to Janie's podcast to listen to all of the amazing hot climate gardening advice that you give. Where do we find you? The last time we chatted, I wasn't in Florida. You were in the depths of your heat, you know, your heat wave. So what's up? What's new since we've last chatted?
So it has not cooled down. I live in Northern California, and it's Zone 9B, and we have had the absolute longest summer. Today, as of today, it's still hot. I still have the air conditioner going, if you can believe it. So still doing YouTube, a Dig Plant Water Repeat on YouTube, and still doing the podcast. And again, you're my indoor plant friend, and I'm your outdoor plant friend. And so a lot of focus has been on outdoor planting for sure.
Yeah, totally. A match made in heaven. Is that your dog walking around?
It is. I'm so sorry.
We have your dog walking around on your side, and we have Frankie tweeting. You know, Frankie, my bird, when we moved to Florida, he's going through some hormonal changes because the heat, I feel like he's coming back to himself because he's a tropical bird. So he's like going through this hormonal change. He's going through it right now. So he's great, but he might like have really crazy spazzy tweet attacks.
Yeah, he's coming home. How are you doing? How are you doing with the heat? Are you doing okay?
I'm good. I'm sweating, but I'm good. I think I've gotten really like the more Floridians that I meet, like the more hot climate gardeners that I meet, I'm getting really excited for this growing season. I realize that I really left New York at the end of our growing season in New York, and I kind of came to Florida in the beginning of the growing season. So I'm just excited to experiment and throw stuff up against the wall. As an outdoor gardener, I'm a total novice again. Like, I have to learn everything new. I found a podcast about, you know, the Floridian gardening podcast that I've been listening to. Like, I'm a newbie again, and it's so fun to be a newbie.
It's so fun to learn new things. And with gardening, I feel like there's always something new you can learn.
Yeah. And I feel like particularly with Florida, with houseplants and with outdoor gardening, there's so much opportunity for me to learn and also just have a longer growing season than I had. You know, in New York, my growing season was 3 months long, you know, and now it's essentially 11 months long. So
exactly. Isn't that crazy, the difference?
It's wild. It's really wild. I mean, I think people who are used to growing and living in one area of the country forget how diverse the climates of this country are. Like, if you look at Arizona versus Florida versus Northern California versus the Northeast, it could be different countries, you know, it could be completely different countries. So it's so, so wild. And with all of this new gardening, I'm so excited. Everybody has to stay tuned because next week we're doing a plant swap. I love that we're doing a plant swap on our YouTube. So I'm sending you house plants and you're sending me outdoor plants for my garden containers.
I'm so excited for you to open your plants that I'm sending you. I can't wait. I can't wait to see your face when you're like, oh, what do I do with this?
I can't wait. I'm so excited. I'm furiously Googling and, you know, I've got
these FOMO.
I've got the plant. Yeah, you'll have to give me some tips. And I feel like I've got the good container. I've got the good soil. So, and I trust you for making the right choice. So I can't wait. I can't wait to unbox. And I can't wait for you to see what I'm sending you. I'm going to send you some really pretty house plants.
Yay. So that's going to be on both of our YouTubes, right?
Yes. This podcast today, where Janie is going to walk us through 5 different plants that you can get indoors and then bring outdoors next summer. But also, if you want more of me and Janie and you want to see our beautiful faces and our beautiful plants that we're sending each other, you can tune in on YouTube, both of our YouTube channels, next week for our plant swap. But so excited. But today, we're talking about the art of having plants inside with the intention of bringing them outside in the summer. Particularly with this move, I'm becoming so aware of the fact that plants can do so much more than we think that they can. And as an outdoor gardener, you are an expert in this. So when did you start kind of doing this type of practice of bringing plants inside and then putting them back outside when it warms up?
Well, I started when I started gardening because I had convinced myself that gardening was a budget hobby. It was a hobby that I didn't have to spend a lot of money on. Yeah, that's that ended up not being true. But I was playing around with plants that I could plant out into my garden and then could bring inside or bring, you know, into a greenhouse and protect and then put them right back outside the next year. So basically not having to buy new plants every single year. Then I started really getting into gardening and I started making over some of my friends' gardens. And here where I live in Northern California, Davis, we have a bunch of mid-century modern homes. We're very well known for having mid-century modern homes. And they have an atrium. They have atriums, which are just big, big rooms with big, bright windows and actually planters inside of the home.
Glorious. My dream.
Yeah, it's just so cool. I was making over my friend's garden. I was helping her and I started doing a deep dive into, I wanted to put in houseplants, but I also wanted to see if there was any flowering plants that I could put into her atrium. And so I did a deep dive into, okay, what plants will grow well outside, but then also grow well inside? What could I do? And it kind of just opened a whole new world for me and made me realize, like, gosh, these plants, we could do a lot. If we give them the right environment, we can do so much with these plants and really get a really good bang for our buck.
Popping that on the vision board real quick, an atrium, a mid-century modern home, my next home. So for those of us that aren't lucky enough to have an atrium, does this look like putting my plants in ground in the summer, then digging them up, putting them in a container and taking them indoors? Or does it look like putting my plants in ground and then taking cuttings, bringing the cuttings indoors and then replanting the cuttings the following year?
So it kind of depends. You can do both. The easy answer is you can do both. Repotting is huge because one of the main things is you don't want to bring the bugs inside. There's a lot of bugs outside,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Live in the soil and some, you know, in the leaves. And so when you decide that you want to bring a plant in for the winter, you want to make sure it's perfectly clean. So repotting, cleaning all the leaves, you know, insecticidal soap, or some people even recommend dunking them in a bucket of water with a little bit of soap just to make sure that they're completely clean. So some of the plants you want to do that, but then there's other plants that you can do exactly what you said. You can take cuttings of them, bring them inside, water propagate them over the winter, and then replant them outside and they easily propagate. A really good example of that is coleus. Coleus is, it comes in all different
every color,
shapes and sizes and colors. And it's one of my favorite plants because it loves the heat. It probably does fabulous for you, Maria, in Florida. And it's the easiest. I mean, it's like propagation 101. You take a cutting, put it in water, and it grows roots in like 2 weeks. And so I actually have taken in entire plants, roots and all, into my home. You have to make sure you have plenty of light, though, if you're going to do that, if you're going to take the plant in. It's a lot easier just to take cuttings of the coleus, put them in, you know, a semi-bright place, and by next season, you can replant them and you have a whole new plant and you've saved however much money. It's also really easy to go and prop lift from your friends' houses. If they have coleus, bring them inside mm-hmm. and you can have all the different varieties. Now, in contrast to that, one that you can just bring in the entire plant, that would be a geranium, or it's actually a pelargonium that we all call geraniums, right? They're beautiful. You can also do the Martha Washington geraniums. Geraniums are probably the easiest plant that you can grow outside, bring inside, actually get it to bloom inside, and then bring it back outside. And you can just basically go back and forth. They do not have a hibernation period. They don't need to go to sleep. And so they will continue blooming for you if you give it the right conditions, which is enough heat and enough light. They'll continue blooming for you all winter long, which is absolutely fabulous. And it's one that is probably my favorite.
Okay, I have a couple questions because you've mentioned two of my favorite plants. So number one, I agree with you. Coleus, a lot of houseplant parents sometimes struggle with like adding dimension to our plant collections because they're all these tropical jungle leaves that are either green, white, pink, variegated, whatever. Coleus has browns, reds, purple, like the colors that sometimes we don't see in our tropical houseplants. Like it's a beautiful way to add visual interest to your plant collections, which I think is really interesting. But I wanted to circle back. So are you saying, because I think this is very interesting and clever. So you're taking these cuttings of these coleus. I love prop lifting from your friends and making some sort of like Frankenstein coleus of like multiple different species. Are you basically keeping it in water for the entire winter season and then planting those water props? Or are you rooting it until the roots are a certain length, then potting it in soil and then putting that plant that's probably in a 4 or 6 inch pot into the ground later?
Yeah, I've done both. You can do both.
Okay.
I think it depends on how long your winter is because it's only going to last for so long in the water. We don't have a very long winter, so I can actually put them right before my last frost or first frost, excuse me, and then they'll last in the water the whole time. If you start seeing roots and they start getting a couple inches long, it's probably time to start potting them up. And then you can kind of do the cycle all over again if you're in a really, really cold area that has really, really long winters. And so they like the sun. So just put it pretty close to a south facing window and they'll be happy whether it's in water or whether it's in soil for sure.
Love. Or, and then you can also keep coleus containers that you put outdoors in the summer. They can pop off, grow, bring them back in, keep them in the bright light.
Yeah.
We're sorry. I'm giggling because we're recording. What is the new Zoom Riverside thing that when you do the thumbs up, like it makes a weird thumbs up icon. I've been on so many different FaceTimes now that this is happening and it's so funny and weird.
It's weird. If you clap, it will do balloons sometimes.
Oh my God.
Not every time.
So weird. But then exactly. It's like when you want it to make the balloons, it won't. But then when you're just doing a normal thing and there's no need for balloons, it's so weird. Anyway, I digress. I hope everyone understands what we're talking about in that. So coleus. Yeah. But I think it's important for indoor plant parents to know coleus likes plants. And most, you know, all five of these plants that we're talking about, because they are plants that are put outdoors. You're going to want to save your southern-facing windowsill, your grow light setup. I'll be hooking Janie up with a really fancy grow light soon. So the coleus would go perfect under this grow light, Soltec grow light.
I really do think grow lights are super important. Sometimes it's really hard for us to find a window that has enough light for these plants that are used to being outside and used to being in full sun. And grow lights just open your world. I just love it.
I really love
grow lights and what they can really do for your home.
They really do. And, you know, I just moved to Florida and I think the perception would be, oh, Maria moved to Florida. Her houseplants are going to be so happy. Everybody's going to be thriving. But my home is actually very low light because in Florida, they take protections to shade from the light because it's expensive to cool your air.
Yep.
And so all of my windows have ledges over them and the windows are treated with UV. So I actually have like a lower light home than I had in New York. So yeah. I'm doubling down on my grow lights, even though everyone's like, oh, Florida, Maria's going to do so well. I'm like, yeah, pretty much it's the same situation. I'm lucky there's a little bit more humidity, but, you know, I'm rocking grow lights in my new house for sure.
Yeah.
So I recently moved, and when I tell you, home did not feel like home until I hung my Wind River Corinthian Bells 50-inch wind chime. My Wind River wind chimes have really underscored my life for the last couple of years, plant friends, and they have brought me so much joy and peace I can't even explain to you. Whenever I hear them singing throughout the day, I am reminded to come into the present and take a deep breath. It is so relaxing. It is such a mindful reminder, and it is also the most delightful accompaniment to all of my garden time. As we enter this gifting season, Wind River wind chimes make incredible gifts. You can engrave the wind sail on the wind chime with meaningful dates, names, or phrases. I recently got Mama Fiella one for her new backyard reno, and I know she's going to love it because she has been asking for a Wind River wind chime of her own ever since she visited my house and became enamored with the sounds. So gift yourself or your loved ones ongoing moments of peace with Wind River wind chimes. Use the code GROWINGJOY at checkout to get a free engraving on any engravable wind chime. So it's done for you and it's free. Head to windriverchimes.com to listen to all of your different melodious options. The chime underscoring this ad is the one I have. It's the Corinthian Bells 50-inch wind chime. And use code GROWINGJOY at windriverchimes.com for a free engraving to add a special element to your gift. That's code GROWINGJOY at windriverchimes.com. Whether you're trying to overwinter your garden plants or you need fresh potting mix to pot up your outdoor plants to bring them in so you make sure that you have no bugs that come along, or maybe you're just tending your indoor garden, Espoma Organic has whatever potting mix, fertilizer, and soil amendment you need. Espoma Organic is a 90-year-old family-owned and operated company dedicated to making safe indoor and outdoor gardening products for people, pets, and the planet. Pets, you can hear my Frankie chirping in the background. All of my houseplants are potted in Espoma Organic potting mix, and all of my container plants are also either potted in the potting mix or their raised bed mix. And if I was digging up anything in my garden to overwinter and bring indoors, I would be shaking off the soil from outdoors and putting them in Espoma Organic potting mix. Also, hot tip, Espoma Organic Biotone Starter Plus Plant Food. It's a fertilizer that you put in the ground when you plant plants up outside, but I've been using it on my houseplants. I've been sprinkling the tiniest bit into the container when I pot up my houseplants, and it helps plants establish roots faster. It helps prevent transplant loss, and my plants have been absolutely loving it. Also, if you're an indoor plant parent, you know I love their indoor organic liquid fertilizer. I pretty much put a serving of it in my watering can almost every time I water. And it's a wonderful way to just give the plants a little boost, a little nourishment. So to learn more about all of the indoor and outdoor gardening products that Espoma has to offer, you can go to espoma.com to see where your local Espoma dealers are, or you can click the link in our show notes to go to my Amazon storefront of my curated Espoma picks. Thanks, Espoma.
Here in California, we have the same thing. We have ranch, California ranch homes. And the whole purpose of California ranch homes is to shade them from the sun.
Yes,
so we have what's called a California room, which is outside of our back door. The roof extends out, you know, another 10 feet or so. So direct sun in our house, it doesn't really happen.
Never heard of it. Never heard of her. Yeah. Direct sun. Never heard of her. So interesting. Now, you bring up the geranium pelargonium thing. I have such a special sweet spot in my heart for geranium / pelargonium. My grandma used to have, I mean, my memory from as a little kid, she's passed, she's been dead for a while, but she, I think, had 20 geraniums in her house. And they have such a particular scent.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I mean, you can get a geranium of every type of scent, but that classic Martha Washington geranium has this like citrusy, acidic, kind of weird scent. And whenever I smell that scent, I am immediately transported to my grandma's sunroom.
I love that. Isn't that amazing, though, that a plant can do that? You know what I mean? It can
so
hold
magical.
The scent. Yes.
Yeah.
I love it. I love it.
And scent, I think, with plants is often overlooked, particularly with plants indoors, that, you know, people get plants for the beauty, but also the scent. And for blooming house plants, I had a geranium in a bookshelf that had a grow light. It bloomed nonstop indoors. I had red flowers tumbling out of my bookshelf 8 or 9 months of the year. And for houseplant collectors, getting your houseplants to bloom is really hard. And the geranium is a great option. It flowers very easily. So, well, can you explain the difference, the geranium pelargonium situation? A lot of people don't understand
that. Yeah. So pelargonium it's a geranium that probably you're thinking about as we're talking about a geranium right now. And it got the nickname, people started calling it geranium and it just stuck. It's the type of thing that it just stuck and none of us can get it off of calling pelargoniums, which is the tall ones that you have to deadhead, you know, the tall stem that kind of looks like a fairy wand. We just got stuck calling them geraniums. And instead of what's like a Martha Washington geranium that is actually a true geranium, and there's hardy geraniums that grow outside really well, like Roseanne, those are true geraniums. So it's just kind of funny that we call them the same thing. I refuse to call geraniums pelargoniums. I will always call them
totally geraniums.
So
Me too.
So speaking of blooming plants that you can bring inside, another one that I absolutely love, which might be good for both of us because they like a little bit more shade, are begonias.
Begonias, yes.
Right? So begonia, like for houseplants, all you houseplant people, you know that there's all different types of begonias that are classified as houseplants, right? But there's also begonias that are classified as outdoor begonias, like wax begonias or tuberous begonias. Proven Winners has one that I love, Surefire Rose Begonia. It's one of my favorite outdoor plants. For all of those, you can dig them up, clean them off, bring them indoors, and they can handle a little bit more shade. If you give them some indirect light, they will bloom for you, and they're absolutely beautiful. Now, if you get like the tuberous begonias, they're going to have to go to sleep at a certain amount of time. You know, they're going to have to have their winter sleep period, but get something like a Rex begonia and you can enjoy the foliage and it's just the most beautiful thing. I love begonias. Begonias to me are a class of plants that's kind of like the unknown because there's so many different types and varieties and blooms and there's just so many things you can do with begonias. I love them.
Yeah, you know, begonias were really popular in the 70s, the last time houseplants were so popular. Every house had begonias. They're also pretty easy to propagate.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, they never really had their moment, I think, in this resurgence of popularity. But man, that genus, like there are so many different leaf shapes, leaf colors, leaf textures. There's a new begonia. I don't remember the name of it. I'll put it in the show notes. It has black spikes all over the leaves. Like it is so wild.
What?
For like any goth gardeners out there or any.
Oh, I love it.
I think it's called the begonia ferox, I think. But it is a begonia that has black spikes all over the leaf. It is so creepy looking.
That's amazing.
But then you have the like angel wing begonias, the polka dot begonias that are like the most joyful, most glorious things. And yeah, I think they're an underlooked houseplant. So I'm happy that you brought them up. And yes, you can put them outside and they'll bloom. You know, when you give them enough light, they'll bloom. I feel like they don't bloom as much indoors, but you don't need them to bloom because their leaves are so gorgeous, you know?
Yeah. Proven Winners is coming out with a new line of Rex begonias. And I will forever love Rex begonias because I was on vacation in Hawaii and I saw this display outdoors of all different colors of Rex begonia leaves. And I just thought, that is the most beautiful vignette of foliage that I've ever seen. And we can have that inside, right? I mean, it's just so beautiful. It's so fun.
Yeah. Will you be replicating that in your home this next growing season?
I think so.
Well, what are the different colors?
The hard thing is Rex begonias used to be really, really expensive, like super expensive. Now I think they're coming down in price, which is really exciting. But I mean, you can get white ones, brown ones, silvery ones, pink ones, red ones. I just love it. It's fabulous.
So beautiful. That's another one too, that it's pretty easy to propagate. So you could take cuttings and overwinter the cuttings and then plant them out again, or dig them up, like you said, wash them off and enjoy them indoors.
Good bang for your buck. Absolutely. So another foliage plant I wanted to talk to you about, Maria, for bringing indoors. So this one, you're not going to be able to bring it back outdoors because it does have to go to sleep. But you probably know this now, living in Florida, are caladiums. Are you familiar with caladiums?
Mm-hmm.
Caladiums are big. They are an up-and-coming plant. There's even people that are starting to use caladiums in place of poinsettias for Christmas decoration, which I think is so fun because poinsettias they're beautiful. They're absolutely gorgeous. But, you know, sometimes we want something different, right?
Sometimes we wanted something new and special. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's caladiums that you can grow outdoors, like in a window box or a container or something like that. Enjoy it all season long, get it big and beautiful. And then instead of tossing it, just dig it up, bring it inside, repot it, put it inside, and you can use it for beautiful Christmas decor. Or if you get one of the orangey ones, there's heart to heart, burning heart, which is kind of this orange foliage with white speckles on it. I mean, that is absolutely perfect for fall decor, right? I mean, how pretty, how absolutely beautiful next to a pumpkin or something like that. So caladiums are one that's really fun that you can enjoy all season outdoors and then bring them inside. And then after you're done, you're going to have to get rid of them. You can redo them, but you have to, it's very complicated to get a caladium to re-sprout. So it's almost, they usually just recommend just buying new ones, but you get to use it for a good 12 months or something like that outdoors and then in. So I think caladiums are up and comers for sure.
I recently, and I documented this on my YouTube, my sister for her baby shower, I gave her it's a girl themed garden, raised bed garden. And we put raised beds in her backyard and filled them with all sorts of plants. And one of the plants that we filled them in were the Proven Winners the pink ones. We have like three different varieties of gorgeous pink heart-shaped caladiums that were so breathtaking. And the whole thought was we're planting love for her. And, you know, every time she looks at them, she's going to be reminded of our love for her.
Cute. And remember, so caladium leaves are in the shape of hearts. So it's even better. Yeah, it's even better.
It's even better. And we're so happy. And I wish I could have told her to dig them up. I didn't think about that. I mean, she like had a baby and had other things to do besides like digging up her caladiums and bringing
busy.
Them inside. Maybe I'll just get her some new caladiums for our new growing season. But yeah, that was so beautiful. And I love the idea of it's not going to live forever, but extending the bang, getting the bang of your buck, extending the growing season and bringing them in just in time for the holidays, using them as holiday decor and then composting them. I absolutely love, because a lot of these plants we're talking about would be used as annuals, which, you know, are going to just like die and get tossed. But why not give them a couple extra months to live indoors? I love this idea.
Absolutely. And if you live more north in, you know, humid areas like the Midwest, Ohio, Michigan, you guys have super warm and super humid summers. So the caladiums are going to be so happy outside. But when your first frost comes, you still want to garden. You still want to do something. So caladiums are awesome to just bring inside and really extend your gardening season. They can handle the indoors so well. They're one of those plants that can really, really handle it. So again, get good bang for your buck for the plants that you're going to purchase. Enjoy them outdoors and then bring them inside and enjoy them indoors too.
Now, next week on the podcast, we have an episode coming out about holiday plant care, the classic poinsettias, holiday cactus, that kind of stuff. We don't talk about caladiums in that episode because this is a very fresh take on, mm-hmm. on plant material and using plants, using a new plant for the holiday. So what would you recommend? Like, are there any varieties that you're going to be trying for your holiday decor in terms of caladiums? I know the pink varieties, but I haven't used the red ones yet.
Yeah. So there's a couple red ones, but honestly, my favorite are the white ones, right? Like, I'm a fan of white poinsettias. I really like that white decor. Yeah. you know, and like the metals and all that
so
kind of
festive,
stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a variety called Heart to Heart Snow Flurry that I, first of all, the name, right? Like,
yeah,
we don't get
snow.
We don't get snow here where I live. So I'll take Snow Flurry in a plant for sure. But it's this beautiful heart-shaped green leaf, and then it has speckles of white all over it, really intense speckles.
Yeah.
And it's just beautiful. It's just beautiful. And you can imagine that putting it around like a hurricane with a white candle in it and something like, it's just so pretty, you know, and it's just such an interesting take on Christmas decor. There's another one called Hot to Trot, which is the classic green and red, right? If you like that classic Christmas decor. So that's a really good one for you. And then you can just kind of play with it and play with all the different varieties. And like you said, like you did for your sister, just kind of doing a mix of them would be really fun, but definitely snow.
Oh my God. Hot to Trot. I just Googled it. Hot to Trot is a Christmas in a plant, that red and green combo.
Christmas, right? Like you can't get much more Christmas than that for sure. So very fun. It's a fun one. And then snow, like I said, and Snow Flurry is just, it's my favorite for sure.
Snow Flurry looks like a normal heart-shaped philodendron leaf that got covered in snow.
Yes.
Like the variegation, the white variegation. Yeah. That's exactly what it looks like.
Good job, Maria. You must be like a podcaster or something.
Like, yeah, I'm like a, I don't know, visual plant, you must, crazy plant lady or something. It's crazy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's gorgeous. Okay, that's what everybody's getting for Christmas this year. I love it. Or maybe I'll put a few on my doorstep. I love that. And then, okay, so far we've talked about geranium/pelargonia, begonia, coleus, caladium. That's it. That could be your whole houseplant collection, right? Mm-hmm. Any others? I think we said we were going to do five, right?
Yeah, you asked for five, but I have an extra one. Is that okay?
Of course you do. Okay.
I mean, it's so hard. It's so hard. There's so many good ones that you can bring inside.
I know.
It's so fabulous. So my number five, I wanted to add because it's kind of a unique one to have outdoors and then bring inside. And that's alyssum or sweet alyssum. Mm. Are you familiar with that plant?
Yeah. And if you guys have been a listener for a while, you know, alyssum is very sweet to me because I used to garden a couple years ago with my plant friend, Melody. She was a retiree who lived near me, and I ended up gardening in her garden for that summer. And Melody taught me about alyssum. She planted alyssum in almost every garden bed she had because of the way that it attracts predatory wasps. But it also had such a fragrance, and we would go in her greenhouse, and her greenhouse would just smell like alyssum. And she sadly passed, but now I plant alyssum in every container that I have as a little nod to Melody. So it's a very special plant to me, and I had no idea I could grow it indoors. So I'm very excited about this, Jane.
Yeah, I just love it because it kind of reminds me of the Snow Flurry Caladium, right?
Yes.
How beautiful to bring alyssum indoors and decorate a little vignette, you know, and have the alyssum as like little snow, right? And then even when you start getting into the spring for Valentine's Day or for Easter or anything like that, it's just such a beautiful plant. If you get the sterile versions or the somewhat sterile versions, you know, you can just take the plant and plant it back outside. But if you get the non-sterile versions, just go spread the seeds outside and you'll get new ones for sure. So it's just a plant that I wanted to remind everybody, hey, start thinking about this kind of stuff. And there are plants that can do double duty and can be in your garden, and then you don't have to toss. You can dig it up and bring it inside and enjoy it for so much longer. Now, Maria, one more.
Tell me.
One more extra one. I debated adding this into my five, and then I was like, I'm just going to do an extra one.
I love that you didn't even let me respond about the alyssum because you're like, okay, no, I need to squeeze this one in too.
Wait, don't cut me off.
You're allowed.
Okay, Ben.
I don't know about you, but I have a lot of gardeners and plant parents to shop for this holiday season. And luckily, Gardener Supply Company is my one-stop shop for the tools and supplies that will get my favorite growers off to a great start next year. They also have indoor and outdoor lights, decor, and more to fill my home with seasonal cheer in addition to my gifties. If you haven't heard of them already, Gardener Supply Company is a gardening company run by gardeners. For over 40 years, they've been selling garden essentials and sharing helpful advice to make growing easier, more comfortable, and more fun for everyone. They've also been earth-friendly from the beginning. Gardner Supply Company was actually one of the early providers of organic gardening supplies and humane pest control solutions and has always strived for a positive environmental impact through the products they sell, the advice they give, and the causes they champion. But don't just take it from me. Discover garden favorites, exclusive innovations, and holiday gift options at gardeners.com/growingjoy and use the code GROWINGJOY for free shipping. Let's grow together. Go to gardeners.com/growingjoy.
Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right house plants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.
So the next one I wanted to add, and you're probably familiar with this plant as a houseplant gardener, but that's Hypoestes, polka dot
plant. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that plant. I have grown Hippo White and Hippo Rose. They're two proven winners plants. I've grown them outdoors, and they've done beautifully in the shade outdoors. But those, dig them up, plant them, repot them, bring them inside, and you've got your houseplant. So you can't forget about those type of things, those really, really beautiful ones. Those will be good for cuttings too. If you really wanted to start fresh and do a new cutting, you can definitely do that as well.
Definitely. It was actually one of my first houseplants.
Oh.
And I had it on my southern facing windowsill, which I don't know if I would recommend anymore. I don't know how much direct sunlight they really wanted, but I found it to be a great tutorial plant for houseplant lovers because it's very sensitive to being underwatered. And so I used to almost dry it out too much because I was so impressed with the show that it would put on for me. Like when you underwater that plant, it wilts and it's miserable. And then you water it and it perks back up. And I remember like in my first, 6 months of caring for houseplants, having that just have been my, just as an indoor plant, not as an outdoor plant first, I learned so much about watering with that plant. Similar to basil, I feel like in my herb garden, just learning how to read a plant because it would really show me when it was just starting to wilt. And then I just knew, like, it got my intuition and my spidey senses about learning how to care for houseplants very finely tuned.
Yeah.
Polka dot plants also do great in terrariums if we have any terrarium builders because they do like humidity. So they thrive in terrariums. I've put them in terrariums, particularly like the pink ones. If you ever do like those fairy gardens that everybody, likes to make. And yeah, so they also love to be like grouped with other plants and also come in a beautiful variety of colors and very fun to learn to propagate on too.
Yeah,
they're great learning. They're a great training wheels plant for sure. Yeah. Like you can learn a lot on that plant.
Yeah. And take them outside next season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, take them outside next season.
Man, we can do so much with plants. You know, I think a lot of us are trained to think about plants as one thing. You know, this is an annual. It goes in my pot and that's it. That's all I can do with it. And it's like, no, there's so much more that we can do if we just emulate the environment that this plant wants to grow in, we can pretty much put it wherever, right? I mean, it's really amazing. I love it.
Yeah. It also speaks to, you know, my whole life is in plant life parallels, but it speaks to the human condition as well. Like sometimes you have limiting beliefs and you think that, you know, you can only go this far, you can only accomplish this much, you can only endure this much pain, you can only, you know, and then you realize, no, there's so much more. There's so much more available. And I was just having a conversation with my friend about that this morning. So
I love
it's
that.
Front of mind. But yeah, everybody should be an annual turned houseplant. And I really do love the like, the savviness of extending your annuals' lives.
Yeah.
Get more bang for your buck.
Like I said, when I first started gardening, I wanted to try so hard to make gardening a budget hobby. And so I was doing...
Says the girl who has a full greenhouse in her backyard now.
Yeah, my husband was like, wait, what? I thought this was supposed to be a budget hobby. Yeah, no. But there are things that you can do to really, like, really make it worth your while. I mean, you know, when you go and you buy that plant, get the most out of it that you can, whether it's taking cuttings or repotting, using it over the winter, you know, use that plant for sure.
Yeah. And spread the love, right? Maybe it's a budget hobby for your friends who now get to come over to your house, which has like every plant under the sun, and take their cuttings.
Yeah. Right.
So it's a budget hobby for someone. Maybe not you anymore.
Not me. And not you either, Maria.
Not me. House plants are expensive.
Yes, they are.
Fancy pots are expensive. Says as I'm like literally this week installing a track light. Speaking of Soltech, I'm installing their track lights in my office because I'm installing a green wall behind me. So the back of my Zoom background will be this epic green wall.
That is going to be amazing. That is going to be so cool. That's going to be so neat.
It's going to be incredible. Yeah, I'm so excited. I paint matched. You see my pink. I paint matched my wall to match the containers. So the containers will disappear and it'll just be green and pink. It's going to look great. But yeah, now I'm like installing track lighting in my house specifically for my houseplants. Not as cheap.
Oh my God. I love that. I think that that's great. And I think there's something to say, like if the plants need the sun, we need the sun. We need the light too, right? So you're giving yourself the light that you need, even in your shady house, you know, that's protecting it from the heat. But I love that. I think that that's great.
100%. Well, I'm so excited for you to get my houseplant Christmas gift. I Yay! Can't wait for our unboxing and also, the videos that will go live next week were unboxed. We've sent each other plants. We unbox them and then we plant them up. Like we, you know, put them. I'm planting my outdoor plants in my outdoor containers. Janie is going to be setting up her indoor oasis. I'm sending her. So go watch. It's going to be really fun. And you have a fabulous podcast, my friend.
Thank you.
Fabulous YouTube channel. So where can everyone find you? And while you're listening to this podcast, click over and go listen to Janie's as well.
Thank you, Maria. So my channel is called Dig Plant Water Repeat. We talk all things gardening. My goal is to inspire you to get out into your garden or get into your houseplants, whatever it is, get your hands on some nature. On Apple and Spotify, it's Dig Plant Water Repeat. It's my podcast. On YouTube, Dig Plant Water Repeat as well.
You know, Janie, we're essentially dig plant watering repeating with this method. We're dig plant water.
I love it.
Repeat, digging the plant up. Watering it, repeat indoors, digging the plant up and putting it back out.
Wait, that's what we should have titled this podcast. Dig, plant, water, repeat your annuals.
Darn it. There's still time.
I love it. That's
your
amazing.
Annuals. Dig, plant, water, repeat your annuals. Oh my God. I love it. Well, I love you, my friend. I can't wait to have you back. And I'm so excited for our plant swap. Thanks for being my plant friend and for my Christmas present.
Yay. Thanks for being my houseplant friend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
I need all the tips I can for houseplants. Please, please.
Oh, you're going to have an indoor, by the time I'm done with you, you're going to have an indoor jungle. Don't you worry.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Thank you so much, Maria. I appreciate being on here. You know, I love talking to you. So thank you.
Likewise. Thank you, Janie, for sharing your tips. I thought this was so fun. I really do have to say those caladiums, those heart caladiums from Proven Winners are so dreamy. They're in my sister's garden beds. Go check out our YouTube collab. So next week, if you're listening to this, the week it comes out, there will be a YouTube collab on both of our YouTube channels. I have sent Janie a bunch of indoor houseplants and a grow light for a very dark area of her home. We're going to completely Transformid, and she is sending me all the plants that I need to fill a gorgeous Crescent Garden self-watering planter for my front door. So she's sending me some outdoor plants. I'm sending her some indoor plants. Gosh, it's fun to have plant friends. I love this plant swap. Also, you can go check her out at Dig Plant Water Repeat on YouTube and her podcast. Go listen to her podcast. It's great. And I hope this episode helps you keep growing joy throughout all of the seasons.
Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test. Because, plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.